Amen. All right, I encourage you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation and Revelation chapter 20. We're going to look at the final chapters of the book of Revelation today. We're not going to cover them exhaustively, but it is my intention to read them. And as we do, I would like to direct us to this thought, that the principle of blessing and cursing holds true to the very end. Now, you might say, what is this principle of blessing and cursing? Well, you know what blessing is, and we say you're blessed. Boy, that's a good thing, right? We understand that universally. It's blessed. When you're blessed, it's good. When cursed, when you are cursed, that is a bad thing, right? You don't want that. And this principle of blessing and cursing is something that has been established from the very beginning of the Bible. And it is something that has been established by God. In these closing passages and closing chapters of the book of Revelation, you will see this principle holding true. And in fact, you've seen it already throughout the book of Revelation, where there are blessings that God gives to His people, to those that follow and keep His commands, to those that have embraced Him as Lord and Savior, and therefore their lives live out the good works He had planned for them. You also see cursing, and you see it in the form of many judgments that God has brought down upon the earth. And these many, many cursings, many people who have rejected God, who worship the devil, who get the mark of the beast during the time of the tribulation, will experience eternal damnation and separation from God. You will see this laid out in these final chapters of the book of Revelation specifically. This principle of blessing and cursing, just a reminder, God blessed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Remember, He said, blessed, be fruitful and multiply. In the first chapter, He blessed them. We also see that He blessed them in chapter 5 of Genesis. In verse 2, we read, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made He him, male and female created He them, and He blessed them and called their name Adam in the day they were created." God blessed them. But you know, we don't have to go too far till Genesis chapter 3 comes and we see cursing. Why? It is because Adam and Eve chose to sin and disobey God. They knew what the result would be because God told them, "You shall surely what? You shall surely die." And so, as they have, when they sinned, God confronts them with their sin, and so therefore, the curse of sin is brought down upon them, the human race, and upon the world. But what we have embedded in the cursing in Genesis chapter 3 is a glimmer of hope. And I say it's a glimmer because it's surrounded by the cursing, but yet in Genesis 3:15 we read, "I will put enmity," the Lord speaking to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel." And God grants this glimmer of hope for the human race, that indeed there would come a time when the devil will be overcome. Well, this struggle goes throughout the entirety of human history. The Bible records that for us, and today we are entangled in that battle as well. You see, blessing and cursing in dealings with Noah. God blessed Noah, but He cursed the rest of the world, and the rest of the world died in the flood. God gave blessings to Abraham, but declared curses upon those who would curse him. The principle of blessing and cursing is given to the Hebrews as they stood outside of the promised land, Deuteronomy chapter 27 and 28. In fact, I want you to hear what God tells this group, which you could say would be the young generation or the second generation, those that were ready to go in and take the promised land. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, we read in verse 1, "And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you, if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." And then blessed, 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 he continues on. But in verse 15 of Genesis 28, we read, "But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." Well, we know it is good to be a blessed man and to receive blessings from God. In the book of Revelation, I want to draw your attention to chapters 2 and 3. And I want you to listen to what Jesus tells the church, or the churches, seven different churches in Asia. His final remarks to each church are these. Look at verse chapter 2, verse 7. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." What a blessing. Look at chapter 2, verse 11. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." What a blessing. Verse 17 of chapter 2. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows, saving he that receiveth it." This is good. This is a blessing. I want you to notice in verse 26 of chapter 2, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power to power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star." You could go on and continue to read the various blessings that God gives to those that are overcomers. In fact, even in the book of Revelation, there are seven beatitudes or seven specific blessings that God gives to his people. And in Revelation chapter 20, we see the fifth blessing. Chapter 22, the sixth and the seventh. So as I read chapters 20, 21, and 22, I want you to think about this principle of blessing and cursing, and how God blesses his people, those that have by faith trusted in him and therefore are living for him. But how there are curses for those that have rejected him. And how are those curses manifested here at the end? Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. The number of them is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and the fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead small and great stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come here, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, and the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the 10th, chrysoprasus, the 11th, jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, nor of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it, or into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things, and I heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God! And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, warmongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is of thirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. I trust you enjoyed that. But there are some things in that reading that aren't blessing, that are not blessings. But there's a lot that are. And just the simple reading of the scriptures, like what we have just done, is a blessing to all of our hearts. And it should minister unto you as you have read and exposed yourself and allowed yourself to hear God's holy word. The principle of blessing and cursing holds true to the very end, and you heard it yourself. There's going to be the time when there is going to be no more curse. But up to that very point, up to the very end, you will see that there will be those that will be cursed by God. As we look here at the chapter 20 that is before us, I believe it is important for us to recognize the blessing of the first resurrection. You notice in Revelation chapter 20, verse 5, we read, "The rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. And then what follows is a blessing. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." What is the resurrection? What is it? Well, a resurrection is the taking of one who has died and bringing them back to life. And truly, ultimately, the ultimate resurrection is back to life, never to die again. Indeed, you notice that this first resurrection, the second death, does not have power over it. The second death, as defined in this very passage, is that death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. And all those that die in their sin and die in their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, as testified by their works at the judgment before God's throne, they suffer the second death. So if you have the first resurrection involves those who have believed in God, who have trusted Him as Savior, and whose life, as God views it, demonstrates a faith, and their works testify of such. Those that will be a part of this glorious kingdom where Christ reigns for 1,000 years, to the best of my understanding, will be those that are part of the church, those of us who will be resurrected at the rapture. Our lives, our bodies will be changed forever. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those who are alive and remaining shall go to meet Him in the clouds. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 describes for us what happens in the resurrection and how a body that is designed to that is cursed by sin and decaying is going to be totally made new to the point that it will never decay or perish again. The first resurrection will involve people who have trusted Christ like you and I. It will involve those saints that were killed during the time of the tribulation, as they will receive resurrected bodies and live forever serving the Lord. You notice, as we read in chapter 20, verse 4, "John saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark on their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years." this kingdom of Christ ruling and reigning on the earth is an ultimate fulfillment of a covenant that God made with David back in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Where we see Jesus Christ, who is literally of the line of David, where he assumes the throne of Israel, and reigns as king, literally, from Jerusalem. And all of the earth will be in submission to him as king, and he will have with him his saints ruling and reigning by his side. He will rule with a rod of iron. He will be the sovereign in absolute authority. But notice the blessing. Blessed and holy are those that have part in the first resurrection. This is a blessed truth that we can look forward to, of being with Christ as he rules and reigns, and reigning with him. This is blessedness. But you also saw in this chapter that the devil is held accountable. He is bound for the 1,000 years, but then he is released to deceive the nations one last time. And what is interesting is that during the millennial time period, there will be people who are born. There will be people whom the devil can deceive. And these are not believers, but people who are deceived by the devil. He gathers them together to march against God, against Christ, who is ruling and reigning in Jerusalem. And so therefore, God sends fire down from heaven and devours them. This is not blessedness. What happens is they are killed and therefore reserved for judgment. And the judgment comes soon thereafter, for we see the devil who's deceived them in verse 10 is cast into the lake of fire. That's where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then we see this great white throne judgment. And at this great white throne judgment, to the best of my understanding, this is the next resurrection, but this is a resurrection of all the lost, of all those that have died in their sins, and they are resurrected to face judgment before God. And therefore, at this judgment, what happens? The small, verse 12, the small and great stand before God. The books are opened. Another book is opened, which is the book of life. And the dead are judged. Notice it says the dead are judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. They're judged according to their works, and the books are books that God is keeping. These are books that you and I have. We're not able to make entries into them. God does so. God handles them. And so the ultimate conclusion, as we think about the principle of blessing and cursing, is on which side are we? When we realize that God is the one whom we answer to. And will we be a part of that first resurrection, which is blessedness, where we will face the judgment seat of Christ and where our works will be judged, but we will not be condemned because the Lord Jesus has already taken that condemnation for us. Where we will be judged for the life that we live as believers. Where our works will be judged. Will it be like wood, hay, or stubble? Or will it be fine, precious metals that will endure the fire of God's judgment? But the unbeliever who does not have faith in the Lord, who will have good things maybe to say. Lord, Lord, we did this in your name and we did that in your name. And the Lord says to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. And sadly, churches today are filled with people. I pray not this one, but churches in general filled with people who know how to say the right things. But in God's sight, their works speak only of their own goodness and not the goodness of God. You see, the New Testament teaches us clearly that for we are God's workmanship, created unto good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them, Ephesians 2:10. And we are to be a people who are full of good works that God has ordained for us to do. And therefore, it's those good works that point not to our goodness, but point to the goodness and grace of God. Is that the kind of life you are living today? Do the works that come from you, do the words that come from you, point others to the goodness and the grace of God, or are they only to make yourself look good? Because as this principle of blessing and cursing goes throughout the end, you see the significance of understanding this truth. On which side are you? Because indeed, all those who stand before God and they're judged, the dead are judged according to their works, they will be cast into the lake of fire. And this is the final judgment. This is it. This is that final cursing and the culmination of it, where all unbelievers, all those who are the wicked, the first, those who did not follow God, will face their judgment, and eternal ramifications are theirs, forever away from God, suffering and torment in a lake of fire. The topic of the lake of fire is not a popular one. And I'm not trying to scare anybody, but isn't it interesting that the Bible speaks of this? And that Jesus speaks of this and speaks of hell and separation from him, a time of suffering because of what? Because of people who reject God, of people who perhaps in name have accepted him, but in their hearts could care less. And it is what I believe God's desire through today in this passage is for you to see this glorious blessing of being with God, of the new Jerusalem. But do not miss what is said about those who do not follow him and keep his commandments. They are cast into the lake of fire. Notice chapter 21 and verse 7 and 8. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. This is wonderful. Who wouldn't want this to be said about them, right? I beg of you to consider this. Are you one who's overcoming? Or are you being overcome? You've got to reckon with this now. Because the day is coming, and I do not know when, but it could be today, where we face the Lord Jesus, and your destiny is sealed. But look at verse 8 of chapter 21. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And you might say, well, that's not me. Lest you miss this. What is that second part, second thing that said? The unbelieving. You see, we need to be about focusing on that. It's the sin of unbelief that's going to keep people from heaven. It's because they choose not to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to believe in some pseudo-Christianity. Something that might sound good, but says just enough to release people from the demand that God says you must believe in Jesus Christ. Where are you today? Do you have this confidence, this inner security, this assurance that you, when you face God, it's a blessed thought? I want to ask you, if there's an uneasiness in your heart today, if that's not a blessed thought, then may that be the warning that prods you to give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. For he that doeth these things shall never fall. 2 Peter chapter 1 continues, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's blessedness. And that is yours, dear one, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. This principle holds true to the very end. But praise be to God that blessedness outlasts it all. The cursed, they will spend eternity apart from God. But as the scriptures tell us, there shall be no more curse in the presence of us as people. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Dear ones, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, there's coming a day where you will be free from this curse, the curse of sin. And you will get to experience the life, the eternal life, that water of life, the tree of life, the new Jerusalem, being in the presence of God. And I'm excited to talk more to you about heaven and about this city. And I trust that you will be excited to hear and to learn about the future blessedness of the saints. But dear ones, your excitement is going to be dampened if you are not sure that you are saved and a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will say, wow, that sounds good, and I hope I get there. May that not be true. But may you know, dear ones, the Bible presents it in such a way that you might know. And this, even as John presents this, he says, blessed and holy that is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Is that you? Is that you? Because, dear ones, if you're not, to my understanding, then it means that you will take part in the next resurrection, which is one to eternal death, judgment before God, and being cast into the lake of fire. Well, this is God's truth. And this is what I believe to be God's message for us today. It's a serious one, and one I trust will God will use in your heart to solidify who you are. On which side are you? Lord Jesus, thank you for this time. I thank you for the blessing of your word. And although, God, I know, Lord, that there's much more that could be said. But as I am learning, Lord, It is so helpful to keep things simple, straightforward, and clear. So God, use this in your people, in your church. Raise us up with a confidence that there will be no mistaking whose we are. In Jesus' name, amen.